Good morning and welcome to our April 26, 2020 worship service coming to you from Drake, Saskatchewan, North Star Mennonite Church. I'm Irene Bartel and Pastor Dan will be sharing with us today about the journey that Jesus' disciples took to Emmaus Road. So thanks for listening in, and my prayer is that you would be encouraged and challenged in your faith journey as Pastor Dan shares his thoughts. Our surroundings here are a little bit different, just like in our life. Things are different with this COVID-19 virus, and we're trying this. It's new for me, so I'm a little stepping out of my comfort zone, but I hope that this aids in your worship. As well, when we're in our sanctuary, often our front pews are empty, and now the whole church pews pines, as I do, for your time together in worship. So may these surroundings, they're not done by Denise, who so graciously decorates our sanctuary, but Dan has a photo of Jesus sharing with his disciples after his journey and the cross. So hopefully they focus can turn our attention to the story. If you have access to your bulletins, you can follow along in the order of worship. I will be doing the call to worship, prayers, scripture reading, offering, and announcements. At that time, if you wish, you can pause this recording and listen to some hymns or some praise and worship music. Music adds so much to our worship. The road between the place where all is lost and the place of resurrection. Like the disciples walking the road to Emmaus, we are in need of your company. Jesus, stand among us in your risen power. Let this time of worship be a hallowed hour. Let's pray. Risen Christ, walk with us during this time of physical separation. And as we listen in our homes, be our companion and guide. Be our teacher and friend. Be our host and servant, bringing your gifts of faith, peace, and hope, and deep joy as always. Amen. Then for a prayer of invocation. Risen Christ, yours is the heartbeat of grace deep within us, the light step beside us on our journeys, the footprints in the sand revealing how you carry us when we grow weary. Yours is the face we glimpse when we perceive one another's holiness. Yours are the promises that life conquers death and goodness is stronger than evil, and that we can build our lives around your shining truth. Show us where you are today, in this place and in each of us. Amen. And because of sin entering into our lives, we need to confess. God of majesty and mercy, even as we offer you our praise, we confess our slowness of heart, failing to see Easter's revealing light. We have failed to see you in our brothers and sisters. We have failed to give our hearts to you. Holy God, we are selfish, scared, and impatient with this corona virus, and often numb to the beauty of the world around us, and your potential for grace that is around and within us. Hear us now as we confess those times we have failed to live by Easter's light. Amen. And hear these words of assurance. Friends, on the journey, born anew with the Easter story, God of living word comes to us in a sacred story, in bread broken and wine poured out, in friendship and in conversation. Hear the good news of the gospel. You are forgiven. Jesus is near, and grace is real. We do not have to be perfect in our actions or our beliefs. We need only to open our hearts to mystery, love, presence, and joy. Send us your Holy Spirit now as your word is read. If you have your Bibles handy, you can turn to Luke 24, and I'll be reading verses 13 to 35. Luke 24, 13 to 35, and I've chosen to read from the New Life Version. That same day, two of his followers were going down to the town of Emmaus. It was about a two-hour walk from Jerusalem. They talked of all these things that had happened. While they were talking together, Jesus himself came and walked along with them. Something kept their eyes from seeing who he was. He said to them, "What are you talking about as you walk?" They stood still and looked sad. One of them, whose name was Cleopas, said to him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who has not heard the things that have happened these days?" Jesus said to them, "What things?" They answered, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth. He was the great one who spoke of God. He did powerful works and spoke powerful words in the sight of God and his people. And the religious leaders and the leaders of the people gave him over to be killed and nailed him to a cross. We were hoping he was the one who was going to make the Jewish people free, but it was 3 days ago when these things happened. Some of the women of our group have surprised us and made us wonder. They went to the grave early this morning. They did not find his body. They came back saying they have seen angels in a special dream who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the grave and found it as the women had said, but they did not see him." Then Jesus said to them, "You foolish men, how slow you are to believe what the early preachers have said. Did not Christ go through these hard times to come into his shining greatness?" Jesus kept on telling them what Moses and all the early preachers had said about him in the holy writings. When they came to the town where they were going, Jesus acted as if he were going further. But they said to him, "Stay with us. It will soon be evening. The day is about over." He went to stay with them. As he sat at the table with them, he took the bread and gave thanks and broke it. Then he gave it to them, and their eyes were opened, and they knew him. Then he left them and could not be seen. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts filled with joy when he talked to us on the road about what the holy writings said?" Then they got up at once, went back to Jerusalem. They found the 11 followers together, and others were with them. They said, "For sure the Lord is risen," and was seen by Simon Peter. Then they told what had happened on the road and how they came to know him when he broke the bread. Thus the word of the Lord. I'll just highlight a few announcements that are in your bulletins. Our sympathy is extended to Anoel, formerly Ewart, now Clark, and family and friends of the passing of her husband Andrew in England on April 23rd. And sympathy also to Anoel's siblings here, Peter, Mary Jean, Lois, and Joel, and Stu and Colleen. May God comfort you and protect you during this time of remembering. I just have a little update on Dennis Peters. He's the father of Tim Peters from Christian Fellowship. He had surgery Wednesday, and he was turned out really well. They got more tumor than they thought. He was to go back to Winkler Boundary Trails, but his wife took him home yesterday. So that's a positive news, and they thank us for our prayers. There's an offering reminder that your checks can be put in Joyce's mailbox here at the church or on your front step. The Lanigan Food Bank sends a thank you for donations that have been received, and they will continue to receive them at the Lanigan Co-op. Also, if you're on the Rejoice list, notice that there's a note for you in there. Let's pray for our worship. For our offering story. Jesus, you have made us an Easter people, ready to tell the news of death's defeat, eager to share our excitement and our money, alive with hope, accompanied by joy on the road with you, walking with us. Bless our gifts we continue to give even though we cannot meet. Be with Pastor Dan as he shares more from your word and his thoughts. Open our minds as we listen and learn again to trust with patient hope in you. Amen.
As you can see, we're jury rigging this together and are learning how to do this and experimenting. One of the famous paintings, or don't know which one's more famous, this one of the Emmaus walk, or this one. Although I'm not going to spend a lot of time talking about the Emmaus walk, I'm going to focus more on Psalm 13, but the Emmaus walk is one of the scriptures for today, and I thought it would be helpful with some background context for us. Let's begin this part of the worship by listening or reading the words of Psalm 13. How long, O Lord, will you forgive me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I bear pain in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all day long? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep the sleep of death. My enemy will say, I have prevailed. My foes will rejoice because I am shaken. But I trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord, because he has dealt bountifully with me. A plane was carrying 55 passengers a few years back. It circled an airport in western Scotland, waiting for half an hour, waiting to land. Why? The air traffic controller was eating his lunch. The officials at the airport on the island of Benbecula in the Western Isles of Scotland apologized for the incident. They blamed it on a shortage of air traffic controllers. They said the airport had only one air traffic controller. The Times newspaper said there had been uproar in the terminal building as families watched the plane from Glasgow lingering in a holding pattern. No other planes were landing or taking off. The plane was tantalizingly within view. Both the passengers and those waiting for them were impatiently waiting. The plane had left Glasgow 25 minutes late, and it finally touched down in Benbecula 55 minutes late after the air traffic controller finished his lunch and returned to the radar screen. Have you ever felt that life can be like that? You are stuck in a holding pattern going nowhere fast. You feel hopeless. Life isn't going the way you dreamed it would. Some relationships are in deep trouble. Whatever is worrying you is offering no sign of progress. Your depression and sense of failure is getting worse. With the coronavirus, in many ways, life seems on hold, but with no light at the end of the tunnel. Even humor like the following may be getting old, even when it does brighten your day. Just like, you know, tired of watching TV, tired of watching movies, tired of watching reading books, and so on. Feeling guilty about your kids watching too much TV? Just mute it and put the subtitles on. Now they are reading. For those who wanted a world without vaccine, here's the world without one vaccine and waiting for it. We can be like Darth Vader, the bad guy of the movie series Star Wars. Wear a mask, don't visit your son or daughter, be emotionally and socially distant, follow orders. Now I know why dogs are so excited to go on walks after being cooped up so much. Have you ever been in contact with glitter, like hug or shaken hands with someone who is wearing or using it, and how for the next 2 weeks it hangs around forever and ends up on surfaces you can't recall touching and places you can't imagine it ever getting, and seems to still be there after showering and washing? Think of COVID-19 as glitter. I imagine we are all becoming impatient. Yes, farmers and many are able to go about most of their regular spring activities, but it feels different. Last Saturday, Rose and I moved her furniture to Drake from Regina, and we appreciated the help we had to load and unload the U-Haul. But afterwards, we realized we really enjoyed the face-to-face contact we had. We did keep our distance as much as possible in moving furniture, but it felt good to be in the proximity of friends. Have you ever felt like King David when he wrote Psalm 13 and asked the following four questions? How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my memory, my enemy, triumph over me? I suspect we've all had days and times like King David had. This psalm on a first reading seems melancholy. It's depressing. We don't know what period of life David was in when he wrote this psalm. We do know it was written when David was facing some big problem. He was worried and troubled, and life was turbulent. We know he lived with some terrible situations. Probably he felt like the two men on the Emmaus walk. They didn't understand a thing that was happening. Years ago in 1927, an American S-4 submarine was accidentally rammed by a ship off the coast of Massachusetts. It sank immediately. The entire crew was trapped in a prison house of death. Every effort was made to rescue the crew, but all ultimately failed. Near the end of the ordeal, a deep sea diver who was part of the rescue crew thought he heard tapping on the steel wall of the sunken tub. He placed his helmet up against the side of the vessel to hear the Morse code being repeatedly tapped out from within. It was repeating the same question. Is there any hope? How long till help? 40 men died. At times, life seems hopeless. Some events drive us to deep despair. At times, nothing makes sense. Even after all this time, since January, of knowing about the coronavirus, we still have questions, and they keep discovering new things about it. The best people come down with life-threatening diseases. Accidents cause death and injury to people we know. Epidemics occur, including suicide. Wars and refugees never cease. People find false hope in drugs and alcohol. Senseless violence occurs, as happened this last week in Nova Scotia. There often is unkindness and suppression of life opportunities going on. Research and experience tells us we can live 40 days without food, 8 days without water, 4 minutes without air, but only a few seconds without hope. We need hope, but so often hope seems unattainable. Some people in some situations began to give up hope. They see no light at the end of the tunnel. This is why it's important to help each other. Keep, find, recover, gain, and grow hope. Spiritually, we know that people need Jesus to have ultimate hope. The Apostle Paul tells us, remember that you are separate from Christ, without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you have, who once were far away, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. That's from Ephesians 2. Being a follower of Jesus gives us a baseline of hope, even in bad situations, even when we have sinned, even when circumstances overwhelm us, even when we don't understand, like the two men in the Emmaus walk, and us today with the virus. Our faith is in the power and love of Almighty God, who can guide us. Many people live their lives with false hope. They think winning the lottery will solve all their problems. I can choose to beat my addiction anytime I want. If I just get that job or that spouse, I will be happy. If the right political party gets in, all will be well. If I do enough good deeds, God will let me into heaven. More than one person thinks they can get away with things, something, and maybe they do, but it scars their inner character. Or it passes on the virus to others. Some people believe that wisdom is a good guide, but true wisdom has to be based on the awe and fear of God. Refusal to believe the message of the Bible is not real hope. There are not just a few people who live in a fantasy land and hope of their own creation. But King David, despite his situation and his good questions in Psalm 13, shows us his honesty, his bravery, and his realism. It's true that in the first two verses, David was singing the blues. He clearly was having more than just a bad day. He was experiencing some kind of crushing circumstances. He may even have been in a prolonged period of deep depression. He clearly was feeling abandoned by God. But then he prays and recovers his trust and hope in his Creator. Often, many of the Psalms follow this pattern. In verses 1 and 2, David expressed his feeling of abandonment and despair. But then in verses 3 and 4, David prayed. David kind of bargains with God. David asked God to turn his face toward him and answer his questions. So he hadn't quite given up. About 100 years ago, the great preacher F.B. Meyer preached a sermon. He said, 5 kinds of people dwell in the dust. Those who feel forsaken by God, those who feel their prayers are going nowhere, those who are discouraged with life's possibilities, those who are going through difficult financial or physical stresses, and 5, those who are stuck in a job or family situation they cannot get out of. So what should these kinds of people and ourselves do? We pray and keep praying. It's crucial that David gives us the example of turning from complaining to praying. David's prayer was, look on me and answer, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death, and my enemy will say, I have overcome him. My foes will rejoice when I fall. David was still struggling, but he became more patient. He moved from self-pity to asking for understanding. He moved from whining to wanting help to cope, and he gave God a good reason to answer him. Don't let my enemies, my foes, rejoice. We don't always fully understand why bad things happen or why we and others suffer or why we don't get the answers we want, especially in the timeline that we want when we pray. I suspect God has heard lots of prayers since the start of 2020 from some very desperate people. But what real prayer does is it changes us. Charles Spurgeon used to say, "A little faith will take your soul to heaven. But great faith will bring heaven to your soul." The act of prayer gives us perspective and especially helps us grow hope. A pilot was flying a plane load of passengers when suddenly the rudder malfunctioned. He radioed the control tower in panic and shouted, "The rudder has malfunctioned. What shall I do?" And I know this isn't the right checklist, but it gives us an idea. The air traffic controller radioed back, "Keep calm, Captain. Just repeat after me. Wings, Flap, check. Velocity, check. Altitude, check. And so on. The pilot made the appropriate adjustments and the aircraft continued on course. Not 5 minutes later, however, the starboard engine stalled. The pilot radioed the control tower in panic and shouted, "The starboard engine has stalled. What shall I do?" The air traffic controller radioed back, "Keep calm, Captain. Just go through your checklist. Just repeat after me. Wings, flap, try to restart the engine, velocity, altitude, check," and so on. The pilot made the appropriate adjustments. Again, the plane continued on course. However, not 5 minutes later, the pilot radioed the control tower a third time. This time he shouted, "Mayday, mayday, both the engines have gone. What shall I do?" Again, the air traffic controller calmly radioed back, "Keep calm, Captain. Just repeat after me. My Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." A.C. Dixon wrote, "When we depend upon organizations, we get what organizations can do. When we depend on education, we get what education can do. When we depend on humans, we get what humans can do. But when we depend on prayer, we get what God can do." David starts this psalm telling God what he thinks. Then the second part is David wanting God to give him some light, some insight, some hope. And then the third and last part of the psalm is where David rediscovers hope and gets back on solid footing. We could say he returns home spiritually. He says, "But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me." This is a constant pattern in the Psalms, and I hope in our lives. We cry out in pain and wonder when it will end. Then we try to understand what's going on and bargain with God. But then we remember the Almighty's unfailing love. We remember our Creator's salvation. So we choose to trust. And even more, we worship and praise. And I've really enjoyed those times at the men's coffee on the mornings when out of the blue, somebody just says, "We have been blessed," or words to that effect. And that happens more than once in my time here in Drake. The act of prayer recalibrates our souls. It helps give us perspective beyond our immediate situation and sorrow. And it helps move us from no hope, out of false hope, into the real hope of the Prince of Peace. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. That's from Philippians. One last story. A pastor invited various church members to the front of the church and asked them a question. "In your times of discouragement, what is your favorite Bible verse?" A young man said, "That's easy. Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." A middle-aged woman replied, "Psalm 46, verse 1. God is my refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble." A recently retired woman gave her answer as, John 16, verses 33 to 35. "In this world you shall have tribulations, but be of good cheer. I have overcome this world." Then the pastor called up John, who was the oldest member of the congregation. This 92-year-old man said, "And it will come to pass." Some in the congregation laughed or felt a little bit embarrassed, thinking that old John's lack of memory was getting the best of him. When the snickering stopped, he said, "396 verses in the Bible say, 'And it came to pass.' At 30, I lost my wife with my job. I lost my job with 600 mouths and a wife to feed. I didn't know how I would make it. At 40, my eldest son was killed overseas in the war. It knocked me down. At 50, my house burned to the ground. Nothing was saved out of the house. At 60, my wife of 40 years got cancer. It slowly ate away at her. We cried together many a night on our knees in prayer. At 65, she died. I still miss her today. The agony I went through in each of these situations was unbelievable. I wondered, where was God? But each time I looked in the Bible, I saw one of those verses that said, "And it came to pass." I felt that God was telling me my pain and my circumstances were going to pass and that God would get me through it. What we are going through, this too will pass. David clearly expressed his frustration, then asked for some help and arrived back at faith, worship, and hope. He changed from despair to delight and trust, even without having a clear answer. But he remembered God's love. C.S. Lewis, in the book A Grief Observed, wrote, "You never know how much you really believe anything until its truth or falsehood becomes a matter of life and death. It is easy to say you believe a rope to be strong, as long as you are merely using it to cord a box. But suppose you had to hang by that rope over a precipice. Wouldn't you then first discover how much you really trusted it?" King David gives us an example to follow of putting faith into action, belief into practice, of offering real prayer, and we can discover God to be loving, faithful, and good again. This is where real hope comes from. God Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. May we hope that our situation today will come to pass as we read Psalm 13 again in the Voice translation. "How long, O Eternal One, how long will you forget me? Forever? How long will you look the other way? How long must I agonize, grieving your absence in my heart every day? How long will you let my enemies win? Turn back, respond to me, O Eternal, my true God. Put the spark of life in my eyes, or I'm dead. My enemies will boast they have beaten me. My foes will celebrate that I have stumbled. But I trust in your faithful love. My heart leaps at the thought of intimate deliverance by you. I will sing to the Eternal, for he is always gracious to me." If you have your bulletins, this is our time for prayer. You may have noticed during these attempts on YouTube that we have more written prayers, but also just more prayers that have come to us from different sources. And we're doing the same thing again today, because I think prayer is an important part of our lives together, especially since we can't be together. So, I want to offer these prayers. First, I want to offer a prayer from Rachel Siemens, pastor of Carmen Mennonite Church in Carmen, Manitoba. Mennonite Church Canada sent this out, and I saw this and said, yes, this really expresses it well. "Pray for the communities and families impacted by the massacre in Portapique, Nova Scotia, and the surrounding communities." So let's pray. "Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. We bring you our broken hearts and place into your great care all of the lives lost in Nova Scotia in this rampage. We entrust their souls to your bountiful love, which knows no end in time or eternity. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. We weep with those who are weeping. Send your spirit of comfort to the many, many people who are mourning the death of their mothers and fathers, their sons and daughters, their family and friends, the neighbors, their friends and colleagues, and their spouses. embrace them as their grief is compounded by the inability to come together to mourn in person and comfort each other with hugs and tears. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Grant your strength and your comfort to the many people who are working to help in a variety of ways, for first responders, investigators, funeral directors, mayors and town councils, for pastors and journalists, and those whose work goes unnamed. Christ, Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. We bring to you our shock, our grief, our fear, our outrage. This doesn't happen in Canada, but this did happen. We bring you our loss of innocence as we react and respond to this awful event. May we not become cynical and close our hearts to others or to you. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. God of compassion and mercy, we offer you our prayer in the strong name of Jesus, our risen Savior. And we pray that people will be able to move through the steps in Psalm 13, to end up where David often in his Psalms ends up. And turning closer to home, we pray for Margaret Schroeder as she adjusts to a new lifestyle as a resident of Lanigan Lodge. We also remember Isaac, too, as he's there and adjusting. We thank you for the successful news about Dennis. We pray your healing on him. Be with Ann Knoll and her family, and it's especially hard to grieve at a distance, but may the family sense your love and comfort in new ways. We also lift up Shekina and all of our camps, and not just the Mennonite ones, but all of them, as their summer schedules are disrupted. Not sure of what will happen, but also as their fundraising opportunities have had to be canceled too, and they're running short of money. We also pray for all the charities around the world who have had to cancel fundraising events, and they are running short of funds. They still have staff to pay, facilities to maintain, and people to help. And as some try to get going again, they have extra costs in sanitizing and protecting the facilities. We also pray for those who are still working directly with people and have these increased expenses for COVID-19 safety measures. So please, do more, people. We can do more than pray. Contribute as God has blessed you. And Jesus, hear our prayers for these. Then I want to offer some prayers of thanksgiving and intercession. God, our Maker, you have walked the Emmaus Road with your faithful people in many generations. People facing challenge and uncertainty. People seeking your purpose and promise. Thank you for your faithfulness to us in all situations. Walk with us and with those for whom we pray for this day, that your grace and mercy may sustain our hope and faith. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. We pray for children and young people who must think about the future in uncertain times. Give them hope rooted in the knowledge that their lives matter to you. Show them how to make a difference in the world, whatever threats and challenges they face as they grow and in this time of uncertainty. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. We pray for people for whom age or experience, illness or disability, create barriers to full participation in your world. Give each one a sense of dignity and purpose. Show them where their gifts are needed and how much they matter to you. We particularly lift up those who are handicapped, disabled in some way, their ability to understand, them being isolated, not having their regular schedules, and all the issues that come out of that. We pray that you touch them with a special grace. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. We pray for communities challenged by forces beyond their control. The pandemic, the economic crisis it is creating, environmental collapse, natural disaster, political strifes, war, and famine. Give courage to those facing these crises day by day and wisdom to those who lead us through them so that well-being may be restored and hope for the future prevail. We pray that governments and rich and many people will be generous to those far away and near who need simply just food to survive. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. We pray for our congregation at North Star Mennonite Church, for our life together and our future in mission. It is time when we cannot gather. It is a time when we cannot gather in person. Sustain our fellowship and strengthen our prayers for one another so that you will find us faithful on our journey into that future. And we pray for the well-being of those whose lives link to ours, who bring us both joy and heartache because they matter so much to us and to you. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. God, our Maker, hear our prayers, spoken and unspoken, and use us in ways we may not even imagine to respond to those around us with the love and mercy we see in Christ Jesus. And to end our prayer time, I'd like to offer the prayer of St. Francis of Assisi. It's very familiar, but I thought it would just help us today. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. O Divine Master, grant that I may not seek to be consoled as to console, to understand, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Amen. So, to go out and serve, I offer you this closing and benediction. Let's be careful as our isolation, our physical distancing may be loosening up here in Saskatchewan and other parts of the world. Let's don't be careless. But keep us, good Lord, under the shadow of your mercy in this time of uncertainty and distress. Sustain and support the anxious and fearful, and lift up all who are brought low, that we may rejoice in your comfort, knowing that nothing can separate us from your love in Christ Jesus our Lord. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen.